Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Meg Meeker. And if you hear a lot of background noise behind me, it's because I'm sitting here in Orlando, Florida at the International Christian Retail Show. Joining me on today's program is a man that I've wanted to meet for a really long time. He's an enormous inspiration to me. His name is Nick Vujicic, and he is a motivational speaker and director of the nonprofit organization Life Without Limbs. Recently, Nick wrote a book with his wife, Kanae, about life in the midst of difficulties, and the name of the book is Love Without Limits. I'm excited to interview him today about his new book. Thanks for being here, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. What prompted you to write a book like this?
Well, it was a dream of mine that I never thought would come true, that God would supply me with a wife who would love me, care for me, and stand by my side no matter what. I actually was a child who went through depression and attempted suicide at age 10.
You did?
Because the fear of being alone was there, and the bullying was too much at school. And I never thought, well, even if I got married, I can't even hold my wife's hand. And so what we realize is that love conquers all fear, perfect love. And that you don't have to be a perfect person before you find a perfect love. And so we're not experts in marriage. We've been married now for 3.5 years, and we have a boy, 2.5 years old. In 6 weeks' time, she's going to give birth to Dayan, our second boy. And we just want people to not give up on God, not give up on love, and not give up on themselves, and really believe for big miracles to happen.
Can I just back up a little bit? You had a bad depression at age 10, fifth grade-ish?
Yeah, 4 or 5, yeah.
How did you get through that period?
Well, between the ages of 8 and 12, I was depressed. And my parents always loved me intentionally, planting seeds of faith and affirmation.
Okay.
Who were Christians, and I'm a PK, so they actually planted a church the year that I was born. And my brother and sister were born after me with arms and legs, and so it's not a genetic disorder or anything like that. There is no medical reason why I was born this way. And then at age 13, the first turning point in my life was I was playing soccer. I don't know if you like soccer.
No, I love soccer.
I love soccer. And so I was playing soccer, and I have a little foot, as you can see, 6 inches long at the bottom left of my torso. And I was playing on the field one day, and I sprained my foot so badly. I was in bed for 3 weeks, and I felt disabled for the very first time. And I realized I either have a choice to be angry at what I don't have or be thankful for what I do have. Then age 15 was when I read in John chapter 9, a man was born blind, and no one knew why he was born that way. And Jesus said it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And I realized, wow, if God can use a blind man to show his purposes revealed, then God has a plan for me. Now, he didn't give the blind man a blueprint of his plan.
Right.
But the blind man had to be still and know that he was God and let the plan happen. So, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, God has a plan, hope and a future for us all. And I thought, what kind of plan is this? But I realize now, God, at 15, if you give me arms and legs miraculously, I'll praise you. If you don't give me arms and legs miraculously, I'll praise you. Because more than arms and legs, I need peace in my
that
soul.
That is huge.
Forgiveness of my sins.
I'm a pediatrician.
There you go.
Yeah, and I write a lot about, and I know the minds of kids pretty well because I listen to a lot. But to come to that realization at 15 is extraordinary, because at 15, it's all about you.
Right.
And you don't want to hear God can use you.
Yeah, by the grace of God. And I heard it all my life. In fact, I hated God for 7 years straight because, you know, I prayed for a miracle and a miracle didn't come. Now, do I have a pair of shoes in my closet just in case God says yes? Absolutely. I've seen 13 miracles. Blind people seeing, deaf people hearing, lame people walking, crooked backs come straight. People don't believe in the spiritual realm and angels and demons. I've seen 10-foot tall demons come through the wall 5 foot wide into my hotel room. So I've seen more than the average 32-year-old. And many people who don't believe in the supernatural, who don't believe in God, they just believe that your perception changes reality, which is absolutely ridiculous, because then come with me to India and say that to the 10-year-old girls who were sold into sex slavery for $700 US by their parents. And so brokenness is brokenness, but hope is hope. And it's more than positivity. It's more than do good and good things will happen. That's ridiculous. The gospel of Jesus Christ, though, absolutely makes sense. And I am going to follow the one who said that he was God, who proved it through his holiness, through the miracles of raising others from the dead, dying for our sins, and then raising himself from the grave.
So at 15, God told you, God let you know he had a plan for Nick. And you moved forward. But were you out of your depression by that time?
Yeah. So I came out of my depression at age 12.
How did it come out?
So it took time, a lot of prayers, a lot of people were praying for me. I have 27 first cousins and uncles and aunts who are mostly all believers and encouraged me on the weekends so I could get some oxygen between Monday and Friday bullying and stuff. But, you know, I honestly believe that, you know, just like in the physical, you plant a seed and it takes time to grow. And so all the seeds of faith and love and affirmation and scriptures that my parents planted in my spirit, it just took time to grow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you just sort of let it grow.
God's grace.
God did it.
He takes care of the growing. Yep.
Let's get back to your lovely wife and your book. How did you two meet?
We met at a speaking engagement in Dallas, Texas. My wife, her name's Kanae. She's half Japanese, half Mexican, Japsican. And we fell in love at first sight. And 6 months after we met, we started dating. And 3 months into our relationship and our courtship, I went through a personal crisis, January 2011. I talk about it in my second book. I have four books. The second book, Unstoppable, I talk about how even though you're a Christian, doesn't mean you're not going to go through depression at times. And so there were a couple plans that I felt was from God and went forward in some projects to make that money to donate to our nonprofit organization, Life Without Limbs. They failed and someone stole $50,000 from me. And we had a cash flow crisis where I ended up with no money. And so I needed some money from my parents to hold me over during that period. And
How old were you?
I was 28. Mm. And that tapped into my 8-year-old depression of the fear of being a burden to my parents, you know. And so I felt like, oh my gosh, here I am 28 years old still depending on my parents, right? And here I am now, this lovely woman of God who's there. And here I am, and I'm in panic attacks. I'm losing my hair. I'm crying for 2 weeks at a time. And I finally told her what was happening, and she said, that's okay. I'm not going anywhere. I'll get a nursing job and support the both of us. So that's the kind of woman she was and is, and she's the most inspirational woman I've ever met in my life.
Well, and I have to say, for anybody who's never seen her, you got to see a picture.
Oh,
of her.
She's beautiful.
You're a handsome guy. But she's...
I look ugly next to her.
No.
She's amazing.
She's gorgeous. She's stunning.
Did you hear about TLC last week?
No.
1.5 million people tuned in for our one-hour special, and we're brokering a series deal where we have full creative control, so we're thankful for that. We want to reach millions of people here in America, and so I've done 57 countries, 3 million miles around the world, spoken to 6 million people face-to-face and seen 600,000 souls give their life to Jesus Christ and meet 13 presidents, spoke in front of 8 national governments, and 600 million people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in the last 3 years. I just got back from Russia. We just preached to 100 million Russians 7 weeks ago on the Andrei Mikhailov show. So we're thankful that God opens up the doors and it's got nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with my strength or anything like that. It's all glory to God. I don't deserve any of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful now that I'm a father and a husband. And we're trying to work out how to reach 7 billion people without having to travel everywhere. So that's the beautiful next 10 years to come. Oh, yeah.
God will figure it out.
I got to figure out what he's figured out. So
you have a family.
You have a wife. Yes.
How old's your son?
He's 2.5.
And then you're going to have a baby very soon.
Yes, ma'am.
Another little boy.
Lord willing.
And how do you work and be a good dad? How do you travel and be a good dad? Or do you not worry about that now?
No, so when my dad had voluntarily planted a church the year that I was born and had 3 jobs and my mom was full-time shift work nursing, my dad was very busy. But he always made sure that he made time for us to go play marbles, go play in the sand pit in the backyard, go out to the beach, go fishing, play chess, speak out conversations that took us beyond the path of academics and school and homework. We became friends. And so that's the season that I'm in transition where, you know, when I'm a bachelor, and I did not know who my wife was. I spoke 278 times a year, 4 years straight. And then you change gears when you get married. And then you change gears when you're a parent. So we're currently changing gears.
God will show you that, and you're so young.
Yeah, we're young, but at the same time, family comes before ministry. Mm-hmm. And so that's the decision of, you know.
It'll all work out okay.
Thank you
take it from a pediatrician.
I believe so. And keep us in prayer. Keep our ministry in prayer. And I say that in sincerity, because the next 10 years may not look like anything like the first 10.
Exactly. So let's get back to you writing a book about love and your wife and marriage. What have been the toughest adjustments to married life for you?
To realize how imperfect I am, because we're all selfish human mm-hmm. beings.
Right.
We don't have to think about anyone else but us. Mm-hmm. And it's always about not really what she's saying as my wife, but what she's feeling. And I think the big thing for me that I continue and I think will continue to learn the hard way is when she says something, it's got nothing to do with fixing anything. And it's merely listening to her and just acknowledging her and making her feel heard. And at the same time, I...
Wait. How did you learn that? Because that takes most husbands at least 15 years of marriage to learn. That we just need to be listened to. You need to look at us. But that's hard for a lot of men.
Especially when you're a bull-headed, Serbian-blooded, Australian-born guy.
You want to just fix stuff.
Absolutely.
And so tell me the problem. I'll give you a solution. We're done.
And I don't think I'm going to be a perfect husband. But I'm learning.
No, but at this age and stage in your marriage, for you to know that you need to listen and it's about her feelings...
Well, maybe I had an advantage. I have 3 caregivers working 10 days a month each. And before I met my wife, I had caregivers. And so you have to understand that other person when you live with them and travel with them. And so perhaps that was a little bit of an advantage to my end to be able to understand, embrace what you work out, what you should change, what you shouldn't change in a working relationship, and then just accept them as they accept you, because I'm not a perfect person to work for either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Human beings are human beings, but the beauty is just understanding each other and communicating that. And you can tell when something's up. She doesn't have to tell me nothing. I can feel it in the air. And we never really let a night go by without, if that day there was something that came up. We've never yelled. I'll never yell at her.
Good for you.
Never, ever will yell at her. Ever.
Or your children.
Or my children. Well, they might get annoying.
But
I will not yell at least.
But it's so painful.
It's so painful.
For children and wives to be yelled at. Yeah.
So I can't say I promise my children yet that I'll never yell. I will do my best to never, ever, ever react out of something silly that my son does maybe one day. And I'm learning better. But my wife, you know, I've already learned to definitely... We haven't had one argument yet. And people say, well, just give us 10 years. Well, down the hall is my friend Victor Schlatter, who's been married for 62 years. And every Friday, you ask him, every Friday they have a date night. And so there are role models of marriages that I, you know, encourage in. And I don't think I'm ever going to yell at my kids. We're going to discipline them. You know what my parents did with me?
What?
They made me vacuum the floor of our house to make $2 a week so that if I want to buy something at a store, I buy it with my own money. If I want to help an orphan, it's not their money, it's my money.
Good for them. And they started that when you were very young.
6 years old.
Wonderful.
And so if I take my technology, my phone, to the dining table, you know what happens to my phone?
What?
She puts it on a shelf I cannot reach.
Good for her.
And that's good.
Yes.
Because there needs to be boundaries and communication back in the family.
Right.
I believe, my last thing before you go on to your next question, when you look at a family nuclear home, men have it wrong. They assume that the pastors of their churches are the spiritual covering of their families. Absolutely wrong. It is the man who has spiritual covering of the home. And if they don't sit down and pray with their wives, and they don't read the Word of God, and they don't do a Bible study, and they don't get refreshed. See, I believe this nation actually fell because families were crumbling. You know why families started crumbling?
Dad's
pornography. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that and you entertain any idea...
You're talking about the United States, not Australia.
I don't know Australia as much as I know America the last 10 years because I haven't been there. But when you look at the West and you look at the access and the capability of entertaining an idea in your mind so fast, so quick, and you let your mind go that way, you can lust without laying a hand on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And when that comes in and wedges in a family, that's when the family starts to separate. So it's the men and the husbands first who start separating, and then the children don't know now who to listen to. Well, look at you guys. Well, everyone's just going to make their own choices, and that's it. You know, we're just going to do our best as much as we know how. No, come back to the basics. Come back to the Word of God. Come back to Scriptures, and don't leave your home unarmed. Mm-hmm. Put your armor on. The Word of God, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, and feet that are ready to move.
Yes. Amen. I hope that all the men out there are listening because, you know, as a pediatrician and author, and I write, and one of my passions is encouraging dads and getting our dads back.
It's so key.
Because I really feel, you know, I grew up in the 70s in an all-women's college during the sexual revolution, the feminist movement, and we decided collectively as a generation to squash men. And it's left a lot of dads reeling, and dads left, and our government came in and said, well, you know, to single moms, you know, you don't need them, we'll help you, and you know, not that that's a bad thing, but it's very, very confusing. So I really hope and pray that people are really listening to your words right now, because we've got to have it. What is the secret to a great marriage for you so far? And I know you haven't been married that long, but is there a secret?
Love him. And I was even thinking the other week, you know, I haven't made my wife laugh for a long time. And so it's those things that are intentional that make a huge difference. It can easily get so entangling in routine and things and the next thing, and you're busy and then you're planning and then you're busy and then you're planning. And, you know, we just went on a baby moon together without our child. And meaning...
Oh, wait.
You know, went on a baby moon?
A baby moon.
Yeah.
You have a baby moon? No, explain it.
Okay, so I know. It's our new generational thing, an excuse to get away from the little one before the next one comes.
Got it. See, that's my age. A baby moon. Okay.
It's one good thing about our next generation.
So how long was your baby moon?
Just two and a half days.
And you went far away or just stayed
just
in a hotel?
Just, you know, driving
right
distance,
in your
hotel.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It was nice, you know, where we, you know, Santa Barbara. And so it was very, very nice. It's where I proposed. Yeah. Yeah.
I bet that was one nice proposal, Nick.
It was cool. We put the ring in a cream puff.
Stop it.
And we got a tray of cream puffs, and I got her to feed me the right one. And
stop
then I
it.
Ate the cream puff without choking on the ring.
And spit it out of your mouth.
And then I said, baby, let me kiss your hand. And then I went down on her ring finger. Now, she thought I was getting kinky for a second, but when I pulled back, she saw the ring, and she started crying. She cried for about 2 minutes, and I said, baby, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Will you please marry me? And she said, yes. So 6 months after that, we got married. We got to meet Billy Graham as an engaged couple in his home for 45 minutes, and that was beautiful.
Did he give you marital advice?
He told me straight up, get married, hurry up.
Really?
Even though we were engaged, so hurry up.
Yep.
Don't wait 6 months.
Good for him.
Yeah, no, it was good.
But that was about it.
But No. That was the opening.
Okay.
The rest of it was beautiful. It was beautiful. He was very much giving me wisdom and insight as I've spoken to 200 million Arabs in 2008.
About Christ.
About what? About Christ.
Mm.
And speaking to government officials and religious leaders, including the last imam himself. It was very interesting what Reverend Billy said. He said, don't preach against other religions, but just preach Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that
I've always loved him about it. He just goes forward in a positive, just bring in light, and not he doesn't get sidetracked.
Because he doesn't want to shut any doors.
Right.
And he was a man who was all for all.
Right.
Gentiles, Jew, sort of all to all.
So how do you keep your faith going when you're, as I imagine, I mean, I just listen to your schedule and I'm exhausted. So, but how do you keep your relationship with Christ so deep and alive?
Great question. You know, everyone has a different form of a relationship with God. I am blessed because not only am I in ministry, but as I even walk around these hallways, people come up to me and say, my son, my daughter, my mom, my father, they came to Jesus because of that ministry outreach that your ministry Life Without Limbs had. So when you hear that and you know that and you know people's lives are being changed and you say, yep, all glory to God, it's awesome. It keeps you going. The stories that you hear, the people that you come across. But prayer is important and feeding your spirit.
Are you a ardent prayer? Or is your wife, do you pray a lot?
You know, if I could say I pray a lot, I don't think I pray a lot, but at the same time, I never stop praying.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. I'm not a person to pray for an hour straight, but I pray out throughout the day and I'm in constant prayer. Mm-hmm. So everyone's prayer life looks different as well, and I acknowledge that, but one thing that's constant is prayer that should be there, and then reading of the scripture, whether it's a scripture for the day, a devotional thought. Me and my wife, when Kiyoshi was younger, we used to wake up every day and read the Bible a chapter or two together as we drink our coffee. And, you know, there are seasons where you can do that as husband and wife, and then sometimes you can't do that.
Yeah.
And so you got to understand the seasons, and it's got nothing to do with righteousness, but if you don't feed your own soul, you can't feed anyone else out of the overflow of your heart. So,
particularly when you are constantly emptying out, as you are. I imagine you come back exhausted after speaking to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I just got to let that go. I can't believe
it. No, but it's true.
It is true.
No,
and
it's
biblical.
True. And
it's the grace of God. Yeah, and you empty out.
I appreciate you acknowledging that because it's true.
It is. It's very hard. And I thought, what makes Nick tick? Down in the bottom, I mean, it's almost like, no, wait a minute. It's almost like, I imagine there are people that look at you and go, his faith and his love for Christ can't be that good. Is it that good
all the time? Is that the question?
That is the question.
My love for God and Jesus Christ never wavers.
Never. Does he ever let you down?
No. Never. Never has, never will. See, that is untouchable. But what ticks me off is sometimes people's assumption based on, you know, what I do or Nick's compromising this or compromising that. Like TLC, okay? Oh. You know TLC Network?
Yes, yeah.
So people assume, well, oh my gosh, they took out the word Jesus and stuff and they kept the word God in it. We mentioned Life Without Limbs. And so some people see me on platforms like that and say, well, he couldn't preach the whole gospel. And then they see me in corporate fields where I don't preach the gospel. In the Q&A, I mention Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And that enables me to go to China and the Middle East and different places where God opens up the door for me to preach to millions of people in that country later on. And so that's how we do the world tour. We did 2013, the world outreach. We're able to do in 17 weeks, 26 countries, and 12 countries put me on mainstream TV for an hour to solely preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and do an altar call salvation message on mainstream TV. And so I know with as long as I follow the Lord's heart as we have been in the last 10 years, just like I told you, the next 10 years may look a little different or majorly different. But what I know is family comes first in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And there is wisdom in a council of many, but you have to be extra careful to discern what is God's voice and what are those voices and what's this voice. And as long as I know within my heart of hearts with accountability partners around that I remain humble, because the moment Nick Vujicic doesn't remain humble, is the moment I'll fall on my face.
Right.
And we can't afford that for the kingdom. And so there are things and boundaries in place that we need to see the full calling of God in my life fulfilled in however it looks and however it looks as to be.
It was great catching up with Nick Vujicic at the International Christian Retail Show in Orlando, Florida. Nick likes to say he has created a ridiculously good life, and if you've ever heard him tell his life story, you know exactly what he means. And he has so much more to say about the newest chapter in his story. On the next broadcast, we'll hear more about the early years of his marriage and the triumph of true love in every relationship. You don't want to miss it. You can also find a link to his book, Love Without Limits, on our website at drjamesdobson.org. And while you're at the website, be sure to take advantage of our exclusive offer for September. Once again, we have two resources to choose from. When you donate $30 or more to support the work of Family Talk, we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of my latest book, Wanting to Believe, and the corresponding DVD from our Building a Family Legacy film series. Or if you'd prefer, a copy of my dad's book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, we'll send it to you as our thanks for a donation of $20 or more. Give today by calling us at 877-732-6825 or by clicking the tab at drjamesdobson.org. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for the conclusion of our interview with Nick Vujicic. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.